Mr. Schweibel.
Your honors, good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Mike Schweibel. I represent Matthew Ray, the defendant and appellant in this matter. The primary question here is whether a trial court has a duty to protect a defendant's right to counsel when it becomes apparent to the trial court that counsel is not exercising his or her function, and in essence refusing to exercise the professional expertise to which a defendant is entitled. The particular function that's at issue here is the exercise of independent judgment concerning the submission of lesser offenses. That is counsel's function. A defendant is not equipped to make that kind of a decision. It requires the exercise of professional judgment based on experience and legal knowledge as to the likelihood of a complete acquittal, as to the applicability of lesser offenses, the consequences and advantages of submitting the lesser offenses. And of course, that's not.
Well, isn't it appropriate for counsel to confer with the client, talk about those possibilities? Your defense here was self-defense. Do you want to also raise the issue of heat of passion? And the client has some say. The client can say, "I'd rather go free on a self-defense instruction than serve whatever you have to serve on a heat of passion instruction."
A client may say that, and a defense counsel should take that into account in making that determination. But quite frankly, under ARCO, ARCO makes clear that a trial defense counsel may submit lesser included instructions over a defendant's objection, that the defense counsel is captain of the ship as to the lesser instructions. And so a defense counsel may say, and I've been a trial counsel when I was a public defender, and I, you know, client may say, "I don't want lesser offenses," and I may say, "That's nice, but that's not, I think, an appropriate decision here, and I think we should go ahead and do that." And that's what counsel was required really to do here. Now, the way this came up was that defense counsel made a record on it, and there really would have been no reason to have made this record at all if defense counsel and defendant were in agreement, or if defense counsel had made his decision.
I can see that under 35C, counsel might want to make that record, because there'll be a possibility of this very argument being raised in a 35C, and counsel has not made a record. I can understand why you might make a record.
I think that's exactly right. I think that's probably exactly why the defense counsel made the record here. The defense counsel, I think, believed that this was necessary to protect himself against later criticism. But what he did by making this record was reveal to the court that he, in essence, had abdicated that decision. He tells the court, "This was my client's choice. Look, I could have done this. I could have submitted these lesser included instructions, but my client..."
Mr. Schweibel, I'm not sure that the record is so clear about a conflict between the lawyer and his client. I think, if anything, the record seems to suggest that the lawyer is giving the client some options, you know, various different kinds of options, and it's the client that's going to potentially bear the consequences of the options that are selected. This defense and this mitigating factor is not something that's so outside, the understanding of a criminal defendant that he can't make an election, you know, saying, "Hey, listen, if you get stuck with these charges, you know, you're a habitual criminal. So do you want to try to go for, you know, take your chances, go for the lottery, try to get a big win, or, you know, and suffer the consequences?" I'm not sure that the record reveals a direct conflict. If anything, it just shows that the client knew what his options were and made a decision about those options.
Well, I think that, well, if the client was the one who made the decision and defense counsel abdicated to that, that's the very error that I'm talking about here.
Except acquiesced?
I would accept acquiesced.
You say abdicated. I mean, he's just acquiescing to what his client wants.
Well, I think so, but acquiescence is also, I have to say, an abdication of his function as a...
Are you saying that no competent counsel would have taken this route, and therefore he was obligated to ask for the lesser included?
I'm saying that if trial counsel had said, I've heard what you said, and in my professional judgment, assessing the likelihood of acquittal, the applicability of the lesser offenses, the likelihood of a jury compromise in a close case where we have two participants telling different stories, I agree with you, and I that's the decision I would come to as well, so let's do that. That would be appropriate. But what's inappropriate is to say, I would have liked to have submitted these things, but I'm going to let you make the decision. And the problem is...
No, nothing in the record that says that happened.
Well, what he says is, he has chosen to forego those instructions, the client, and I've gone along with his decision. And I think at the very least, what that does is raise the question of whether he has acquiesced to the client.
But and the court inquired, you know, court said, is this your strategic decision? And, you know, counsel responded, yes, that's our strategy. So how much further do you propose the trial court go?
Well, first of all, I guess I need to say that the court didn't say, was this your strategy? What the court said is, I presume that this was the defense's strategy. And I know, and under most circumstances, that's a term that doesn't require much explanation. But where we have, the defense is an all-inclusive term. Defense means client and counsel together. They're the defense. And so it simply didn't solve the ambiguity by saying, I presume this was the defense's strategy. The trial court was put on notice here that just by the fact that a record was made and by saying that the client made the decision and defense counsel went along with it, that there was at least a potential that defense counsel really wanted to submit these instructions but had acquiesced to his client.
But how much further beyond that question did you want the trial court to go? I mean, what are you proposing?
I think, you know, I've proposed an advisement, which is not long, on page 16 of the opening brief, essentially where the court advises the client that that this was, well, the trial court, first of all, could directly ask defense counsel, is this your independent decision as well, or is this just your client's decision with which you disagree? I mean, that's simple enough to do that. But the trial court also could have advised the client, I'm hearing that you may have made this decision over your counsel's objection, and I want you to know that this is your counsel's decision to make. That's why you have a lawyer. And if you want to persist in doing that, you essentially are choosing to proceed without counsel, at least on this issue. So at least it is clear. I mean, a pro se client, and a client in this instance who is proceeding by making their own decision on this issue, is proceeding pro se. And a client who wants to proceed pro se is entitled to an advisement on the dangers and disadvantages of self-representation.
Counsel, I mean, why isn't this much more appropriately pursued under 35C based on an ineffective assistance argument against Mr. Ray's counsel? In that context, the attorney-client privilege is waived. We'll know exactly what was said between the two of them. To follow up Judge Roy's observation, we'd have expert testimony that may or may not say no sane lawyer would have declined to put in the IO instructions. I guess what I'm having trouble with is, why is your argument better resolved on direct appeal, given all these ambiguities, when it can be fully resolved without any ambiguities on 35C?
Well, I think we have to start with the idea that what we're suggesting here is that the trial court had a duty to inquire, that it's raised a duty of inquiry. And that comes from the line of cases that we've cited in the brief, the conflict cases, but later Burgerud, which extended the duty of inquiry quite a bit, that the court has a protective function with regard to the right to counsel, and that when it becomes apparent to the trial court that counsel is not functioning, for example, that there's a conflict, or that counsel...
Well, I understand your argument, but with respect, I don't think you're answering my question.
Okay.
Why exactly aren't all the issues that you're going to raise, that you have argued, better presented in the context of the type of record that would be developed in 35C as contrasted with the argument essentially that we're having as to what inferences might be read into these comments from the trial judge and the comments from counsel? Why is this the better forum? to get down to the right decision.
I think it's an equally good form.
Well, okay, then just say that. Tell me why it is equally good to resolve these questions based on, I think you would agree, somewhat ambiguous statements in the record, when you could completely wipe that ambiguity away by resolving it by raising it as a 35C.
Well, the ambiguity can be completely wiped away by a trial court inquiry as well. That's what.
But that didn't happen here.
But oh, for sure. What we're suggesting is, excuse me, that a remand could be done for that purpose.
But you seem to be assuming that the defendant didn't know all this, and counsel may have begged, may have gotten down on his knees and begged, slapped him around a little bit, said, "You're making a stupid decision here." Now, and these are the ramifications of it. He was fully advised when he made this decision, and that would come out in the 35C proceeding. Not true here.
Well, first of all, that could come out with an inquiry from the trial court. That's what the court in Bergerud suggested, remanded for that very purpose, that the trial court, having not insisted that trial counsel answer the questions about what had occurred during the breakdown in communications, that they were going to remand for the court to conduct that inquiry. And that also, Bergerud was a case that could have waited for a 35C as well, but the court didn't say, this is something we should wait for a 35C on. All the conflict cases, Wood versus Georgia and all the rest of them, all of those revolved around the duty of the trial court to make an inquiry when it comes to their attention. I think on the assumption that if the trial court makes an inquiry as to these matters, that is as good as the evidence that could be elicited later on a 35C. And I think that
let me stop you there, if I could, please. Okay, you're asking for a remand for this colloquy to occur. Correct. Are you waiving the attorney-client privilege? Because otherwise, whatever was said between Mr. Ray and his attorney would be privileged. Are you waiving that?
Well, I'm not waiving that, because that's a question that has to be posed to the defendant that was not posed here. And it just never got.
Okay, so you're asking for a remand, but you're not taking a position on whether the privilege is waived by your request.
No, I don't think the privilege yet been waived.
All right. So conceivably we could remand, get the defendant in. The defendant would be advised of that this is privileged information. He has to waive it, and the defendant says, "I won't waive it."
Conceivably, that could happen.
And then now we're back where we are right now.
Then we're on to a 35C.
Okay. Well, by forcing it to a 35C, doesn't as a matter of law he waive the privilege by raising that issue?
Yes. If it's raised in a 35C.
Okay. So let me come back to your other comment that forgetting about the privilege issue, the remand proceeding you contemplate could get us where a 35C does. In the 35C, you'd have expert testimony that even if this was 100% the lawyer's decision, it was irrational, right?
You could.
Okay, that testimony is not going to be present. That we're not going to have the benefit of that testimony, nor will the trial judge on remand.
Correct, although.
Okay, so doesn't that lead to a possibility that in the proceeding you contemplate on remand, the lawyer says, "Your Honor, I consulted with my client, as Judge Roy suggests, but ultimately the professional decision was mine." Judge says, "Fine." It comes back up here, and then we go through the whole same thing again in a 35C, because the next argument is the lawyer was crazy to do that.
That's right, but that's a different argument than the one we're
okay,
raising.
Okay, but why not kill the proverbial two birds with one stone? Deny this appeal without prejudice to raising all these arguments in 35C. That's right. What I don't understand.
I think that argument could be raised in any duty of inquiry case, that any time a record comes down where a trial court has sufficient information that it could be concluded that counsel is not functioning, for example, where there's a conflict. And instead of remanding for an inquiry, which is what happened in Bergerud, it happens in some of the Supreme Court cases, it happened in Wood, it was remanded for an inquiry. The court could say, that should have happened, but we're not going to make the court do that. We're just going to wait for a 35C to be filed. I think the important point is to establish that these right to counsel issues need to be addressed at the trial court level when they arise. And so, that's what would be established by I think the holding here. Thank you, and I will forego my
last. You can have the remaining 10 seconds.
I'll forego my last 6 seconds. Thank you.
May it please the court. Good afternoon, Your Honors. G. Diaz, representing the people in this case. The key issue is whether there was an abdication of prosecutorial duty in this case. And obviously, there is no clear indication of that in the record. The only basis for the defendant's argument is that because the counsel said that I decided to go along with the defendant on this issue. However, when we read the context, it's clear that what defense counsel was talking about is that there was an extensive discussion. They discussed it at length, and counsel, for whatever reason, decided that this was the best strategy. And the court's inquiry was that whether this was the defense strategy, and that was affirmed by defense counsel. That is all that is required of counsel. ARCO stands for the proposition that if there is a conflict between defendant and his counsel on the issue of lesser offenses, then it is counsel's decision that prevails over defendant's own personal decision. That is not the case here. What we have here is simply a discussion between the two of them, defendant and counsel, and eventually, counsel decided that that is the best strategy, and that is what the record shows based on the court's inquiry. So even if there was an inquiry...
Why was this even raised in the trial court? If counsel was comfortable with this decision?
As the court pointed out, probably in anticipation of maybe possible ineffective assistance claims down the road, just to make a record of that, and informed the court that this was a decision reached by...
Isn't the logical inference from what counsel said is that I am deferring to my client on this?
There is no indication that it was deferring. It was consultation and then reaching that conclusion together. And based on the response to the court's inquiry, it is clear that that defense counsel felt comfortable adopting that position by saying that this is the defense's position. So it was not abdication, it was not deferring to the decision of defendant in spite of his own judgment that this was not a good decision. And it is, as the court pointed out, it is logical for defense counsel to think that maybe this is not even a good idea, because going with the stronger defense of self-defense, that would have been a risk that defense counsel was willing to take, because it was acquittal versus a lower sentence. And the heat of passion probably was not even a valid defense, because defendant argued that what he did was in response to the attack by the victim. So heat of passion is not completely consistent with this notion that I defended myself by taking the rational decision of attacking back, whereas heat of passion involves some kind of passionate response, non-rational response that is not even in the evidence. Unless the court has any question, we stand by the position in the brief, and we ask the court to affirm the judgment of conviction.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
You want to assign the remaining 11 minutes to Mr. Schwabel, or? Case, we thank counsel for their briefs and arguments. The case will be deemed submitted. A written opinion will issue in due course. Thank you.